From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Hayward.
Richmond.
San Pablo.
Yeah, San Pablo.
I live in Novato.
Coming up, why Alameda County wants members of its emergency response team to reflect the city they're there to help.
So I use a lot of my own lessons that I've learned to show them that, one, I've been there, but also have a blueprint for success.
Then kids in West Oakland find sanctuary inside a music studio.
That's what draws them here, to have that opportunity, to just kind of have peace of mind and be able to express and discover.
And we speak with a nutritionist creating access to healthy lifestyles in Oakland.
When it comes to communities of color, quote-unquote nutrition prescription isn't culturally relevant.
That's all coming up next on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Alameda County is one of the largest and most racially diverse counties in the United States. But you'd never know it by looking at the people who respond to emergencies and natural disasters. Firefighters and paramedics, more than 70% of them are white. So the county started a program to grow a new crop of health professionals who actually reflect the communities they serve. KALW's Tammy Drummond brings us the story.
I am with emergency responders Nicholas Kinney and Chris Channel in a green and white Paramedics Plus ambulance racing to a 911 call in Fremont. We bump over train tracks and swerve through mid-afternoon traffic.
Going up to Mission, turn right.
Kinney is a 25-year-old emergency medical technician, better known as an EMT. He's in the passenger seat navigating. He punches in a hip-hop track and starts bouncing to the booming bass. The radio dispatcher has an update. The patient isn't in the throes of a heart attack after all. She's suffering from an altered level of consciousness, which basically means she's confused and disoriented.
Maybe heart attack, maybe stroke, maybe hypoglycemia. Sepsis, so that's what we gotta figure out.
The way Kinney is rattling off possible diagnoses, it's hard to imagine that a little over 2 years ago, you might have encountered him whipping up lattes and frappuccinos at Starbucks.
Then I had a man bun, and I looked like a samurai warrior.
Before that, he was growing up in North Richmond, in a neighborhood where it was all too common for warring gangs to have shootouts on the street.
I had some friends that, rest in peace, that didn't make it.
In 2014, Kinney's life took a dramatic turn. He lopped off the man bun and enrolled in a 5-month program that trains young men of color to become emergency medical technicians. EMTs work with paramedics to provide medical care in the field during an emergency.
It's like I'm the hands and the feet in the community, you know, like, what do you need? I got you. You need warmth, you need fluids, you're dehydrated, like, whatever you need, we're here.
If y'all ready for this mantra, give it to me one time. If y'all believe in this mantra, give it to me 2 times.
It began for Kinney as it does for all new recruits at the EMS Corps in San Leandro.
Let's get it in. We are Cohort 10. Our character is a reflection of our integrity. The impossible is defeated by our courage. We are committed to being assets to our community, standing morally strong as brothers. All
right. I'm in a spare conference room. 11 men dressed in Navy t-shirts with the EMS Corps logo are sitting at long tables arranged in a big rectangle. Most are African American and Latino. Each one has a journal open in front of him. They're intensely focused on their teacher, life coach Dr. Valerie Street.
How can you match your gifts and talents with one of the world's greatest needs? One, big one.
The one that I'm really working on is a teacher, because I feel like I'm a huge role model to everyone under me.
That's Naquan Taylor. At 18, he's the youngest. He grew up in a housing project near the Coliseum BART that generates more than its share of 911 calls. He wants to be a nurse.
I want to be the role model that they don't see on the TV, that they don't see on social media, that they don't see on the internet.
As the class goes on, Street takes the recruits on what she calls a 26-step roadmap to manhood.
It takes them on a discovery of who they are, what their character is, what their strengths are, what they value most in this life. And once that is nailed down, then they don't have doubts. They're not in the street looking for an identity.
In order to apply, recruits must be 18 to 26 and have a high school diploma. They earn a $1,000 a month stipend. 139 men have graduated since 2012. They're working as EMTs at private ambulance companies, on fire department rigs, as counselors at detox centers, and as community outreach workers.
There's so many different fields within, careers within healthcare that they can actually go into.
Michael Gibson is EMS Corps' executive director. He says the program started at Camp Sweeney, the youth detention center in San Leandro. EMS Corps still recruits heavily from there.
I look for the young man that's been through some tragedy in his life and had faced some hardships and just need an opportunity.
That would be someone just like his younger self.
My first arrest was at age 11, and then 12, carrying guns, running the streets, selling drugs. And then, of course, as I got older, I got into more serious charges, so where I ended up in the California Youth Authority. For about 3.5 years, I served out of an 8-year sentence.
Overall, about 30% of recruits have had some kind of contact with the criminal justice system. They aren't eligible, though, if they have more than 2 misdemeanors or 2 felonies on their record. That disqualifies them from taking the state exam for EMT certification. Gibson tries to show the recruits that they don't have to be defined by the past.
So I use a lot of my own stories and lessons that I've learned in life to show them that, one, I've been there. I know what you're going through. I've been through it. But also have a blueprint for success. I can show you the way if you're willing to listen.
Coming in code 2 traffic. On board we have a 69-year-old female. Coming
back on the ambulance, Kenny and his partner are transporting their patient to Washington Hospital in Fremont. They're an unusual team. Kenny is biracial with urban swagger. Channel is white and grew up in Moraga in the suburbs. Most ambulance crews are all white. Channel says that can be a handicap on calls to communities of color.
Like when we have a patient that we pick up in Oakland, you'll see Kenny's demeanor like totally change and totally like adapt to that style. Like I don't have that. Like I grew up in Moraga. Some of the language, like I won't understand what the patient's talking about. But having him on scene, you know, he knows how to talk to patients to get them to smile.
But after a year and a half together, the duo is breaking up. After our ride along, Kenny got accepted into Oakland's super competitive fire academy. If he gets hired, his boss will be none other than Teresa Deloach Reed, the first African-American woman chief of a major fire department. In San Leandro, I'm Tammy Drummond for Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Tammy was really interested in interventions that bring about positive change in poor communities of color, like that EMT training program. So when she looked at education, she found something interesting. Every Wednesday afternoon, a science classroom in a West Oakland middle school fills up with kids that hang out there by choice. Why? Well, the classroom is transformed into a hip-hop recording studio where adult DJs, MCs, and rappers teach music production using state-of-the-art software and drum machines. Now back to Tammy with that story.
It's a dance in this
room. All right.
The crypto.
What I want you to do is a...
It's GTA
song. Tap.
My name is Dr. Elliot Gann. I am a clinical psychologist and DJ, beat maker, executive director of Today's Future Sound. A lot of these kids are chronically exposed to trauma. You know, we came out of school after teaching at 5:30 in the evening, and there, you know, helicopters with spotlights looking for a gunman, and there's squad cars pulled around. So this is the kind of repeated trauma that's pretty normal.
One, snare on the two, kick on the three, and snare on the four. One, two, three, four.
I recognize that. I think we all understand where these kids come from and their environment, and I think one of the goals and objectives in this class is to have that all go away when they come here. I'm Marlon Richardson, instructor with Today's Future Sound. That's what draws them here, to have that opportunity to just kind of have peace of mind and be able to express and discover and search and find.
When you get kids doing repeated kind of loop-based music, you can actually induce trance-like states that make people more relaxed. It can be really therapeutic and have incredible therapeutic outcomes.
My name is Christopher Speed Johnson. We used the pencil beat that my friend made, and then we turned it into a party dance music. It took us a few minutes, but we still did it good, and I'm proud.
They're learning, you know, math in a sense, because we have to count measures, we have to count bars, and that's basic music theory, so that allows a math component to be put into the curriculum. You see them develop and gain more confidence in order to come in and share ideas and express ideas and kind of put them all to work. So when I tell you to press either a gray button or a colored button, you do it immediately.
So it can have that little creepy effect?
Yeah.
My name is Emily Wayne. Well, me and my friend Alexis made a beat featuring a game. It was Pac-Man. The ascending notes and descending notes. All we did is that we grabbed an object, then we just run it through the piano, up and down, one at a time.
They're teaching the kids to think outside the box. I like the way the kids felt empowered. My name is Sharon Thomas. I teach sixth grade English and history.
I'm a little disappointed, you guys. I heard you broke up a lot of my pencils and had too much fun yesterday instead of work.
Behavior-wise, it's been used more of as an incentive to keep them to act right in the classroom so they would earn their way to go into the BEATS program. If I'm in the classroom and somebody's acting out and I remind them, you know, BEATS is coming, let's prepare ourselves and do our work so that I can allow you to go into the class. You don't want detention.
Hold on, real quick. Okay, guys, everyone, shh, everyone quiet. Let's pull it in. This is a cipher. Let's get everyone in the cipher. Let's get in close. Come around.
The good thing was it's not us recruiting as much as them saying, I want to be in it. So that's a gift when a child really wants to go to a class.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Oakland native Jessica Jones wanted to create more access to healthy lifestyles within her community. She especially wanted women of color to feel good about their bodies and the food they eat. So she and her friend Wendy Lopez became dietitians, and they started a blog called Food Heaven Made Easy. And it took off. KLW's Angela Johnston spoke with Jessica Jones about the challenges of eating well in areas without access to grocery stores and the challenge of getting exercise in neighborhoods that may feel unsafe.
So I work at a primary care clinic in East Oakland. So we work with primarily communities of color. I have a lot of Black patients, Latino patients, a lot of refugee patients. We actually have a refugee clinic on site. And my patients are struggling with a lot of different health issues. So I see a lot of obesity, a lot of diabetes, pretty much like everything. You know, the doctors will refer patients to me, and then I kind of, you know, work with them one-on-one or in group settings to make lifestyle changes over time.
What are some of the main concerns for you as a nutritionist when it comes to communities of color?
I think that when it comes to communities of color, a lot of times the, you know, quote unquote nutrition prescription isn't culturally relevant to the patient, or there isn't an understanding of the patient's cultural, you know, eating habits and preferences. So I think that's something that's really important in making sure that the patient is seen and heard. I've never told anyone to abandon a dish from their culture, because usually if people are cooking foods like at home, that's great. Like, I really try to encourage that. I try to focus more on, like, if there was to be something that I would be like, this I don't recommend at all, it would probably be like soda, things like soda and juice. I mean, it's so simple, but I've never told anyone like a dish from their culture that they love, they can't have it. I would just say, like, because I have a lot of patients like who love pan dulce, like sweet bread, and they'll have it like two pieces every single morning and with coffee and sugar. So in that instance, I may, you know, focus more on like, here are some healthy options that you can eat. We're not going to take away the pan dulce, but maybe we'll just have like a half a piece instead at that meal, and then kind of, you know, add in some other like healthy, yummy things.
Some people associate eating healthy as something that only rich people do. So how do you convince people to break that stereotype?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think with showing people that it is totally possible to eat healthy on a budget. And I feel like that's one of, you know, if there is access to a farmer's market, especially if you go like, you know, before it's closing, like sometimes you'll get better deals because farmers don't want to have to take stuff back, just like little tips like that. And also, you know, making sure that you have a plan for what you're eating for the week. Cause I know, and this happens to me too, sometimes if like I don't plan, you end up wasting a lot of food, and that's like money down the drain. So I think, you know, the best thing people can do is sit down, come up with like a weekly meal plan. You don't have to follow it to a T. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. You can eat the same things. Like, I rotate between three breakfasts every day. And for lunch, same thing. Like, I do a lot of shopping at Trader Joe's, which can be, you know, really cheap. Some of my patients go there, some don't. But, you know, just finding little things that you can repurpose, you know, buying things like rice and beans or like pennies, you know, per serving, but they go such a long way. And you can repurpose them into different meals like tacos or, you know, veggie bowls with rice and beans. It's like all that kind of stuff is delicious and healthy if you're adding vegetables to the plate.
What are some of the challenges that women face getting exercise in unsafe neighborhoods, and what have you been told concerns them?
So that's a great question. A lot of my patients will, when we talk about exercise, you know, prescriptions, quote unquote, they tell me like, I don't feel comfortable leaving the house and walking. Like, so, like, I would say at least 50% of the women patients that I work with. And I've had a lot of patients who, like, I had one who was attacked by a pit bull. I've had patients who, like, so many who are like robbed at gunpoint or attacked or just crazy, like, you know, horrific things happen to them. So I think that it's just something that we have to keep in mind for different communities. Like, it's not always as easy to just go for a walk. So I think in those instances, one thing that I tell people to do that's that, you know, you could still get your physical activity in is just, you know, do just any kind of movement at home. Like there's so many different exercise routines. I have some that I'll just give them where you're just kind of like rotating between, you know, walking or there's stuff you can do on the chair, you know, there's simple things like squats, like during commercial breaks, just things like that. And a lot of my patients, you know, I'll tell them to try dancing. Like for me personally, I'll just put on some music and at home dance for like 30 minutes and I'm sweating. It's a really good workout. And you don't have to pay for a gym membership. You don't have to leave the house. You're still moving. And it, yeah, it's free.
What are some of your favorite recipes?
Ooh. So I just started making, I had a sweet potato and guacamole quesadilla the other day, well, the other month. And then I made my own recipe with it and it was absolutely delicious. I loved it. I also love, you know, just simple things. Like sometimes I'll do, like, for example, like tacos, but instead of frying them, I will put the shells like directly in the oven, like kind of drape them over like a bar in the oven. And so they crisp up, but without like all the extra oil. And I'll put, you know, maybe sauteed spinach and chickpeas and maybe like some Parmesan cheese or something like that to give it like a little bit more flavor. I am also like really big on things being quick because I understand that people don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time. So I want like foods that I can make once and that aren't like labor intensive that really go a long way. I'm also working on a cookbook right now that's going to be out in January 2017. And so that's like full of amazing budget-friendly vegetarian recipes. It's kind of like a 28-day meal plan for people. So I think that, you know, just experimenting in the kitchen and kind of like maybe focusing on a couple of different ingredients per week and repurposing them into different recipes is a great way to start.
What goes in the avocado sweet potato quesadilla? That sounds really good.
It was literally avocado, sweet potatoes, and then I roasted vegetables. So like peppers, and I think I did zucchini also. And just, it was super quick. I cooked the sweet potato in the microwave because it was really fast. And then just mashed the avocado with a little bit of lime and maybe a little salt. Put it all together. It tastes like better than a regular quesadilla. It was so delicious.
That was Jessica Jones of the blog Food Heaven Made Easy. She spoke with KALW's Angela Johnston. Find a link to Food Heaven at our website, kalw.org, and click Cross Currents. And I bet you didn't know that KALW is a food heaven, and our cooks in the kitchen are Leela Day, Nicole Grigg, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Jürgen Klemm, Abhilasha Madan, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Andrew Stelzer, and Mary Lee Williams. The line producer today was Hannah Kingsley Ma, and our show was engineered by James Rowlands, who really, really could go for salmon sashimi. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by Americano Social Club. They say they play music for La Dolce Vita. Apparently that includes David Bowie covers, as you're hearing right now. Americana Social Club has several performances around the area. The next one is at Blush Wine Bar in the Castro. That's Thursday at 7:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Let's dance. Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. Let's dance to a song they're playing on the radio. Let's sway while color lights up your face. Let's sway, sway through the crowd to an empty space. If you say run, I'll run with you. If you say hide, we'll hide. Because my love for you would break my heart in two. If you should fall into my arms and tremble like a flower. Let's dance for fear your grace should fall. Let's dance.